thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Geekly Planet Podcast, where we talk about all things geek, because we all geek out about something, with your hosts, Pat Aldridge, TJ Tammer, and Matthew Hample. Make sure to check us out on the internet, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And now on to this week's episode.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to this special edition of the Geekly Planet. Why is it special, you may be asking yourself? Because we are blessed with the presence of one Matthew Hample. My friend, how are you doing?
I'm good. Yours make me feel like I'm like, I don't know, like, I don't know, like something special, and I'm really not, bro.
Our occasional host.
I mean, I'm not as special as number five, but you make me feel like that. I think.
Nice. I appreciate you sitting outside, and we have birds chirping in the background. That's good. That's
you are not, welcome.
Not totally distracting, but you know, whatever. TJ, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Since Friday, we've been on vacation. Went to Cherokee first for a few days with my wife's family, and now she's doing some stuff with her parents. And we were so close; I came down to see my brother and his family. So, yep.
Very cool.
I fully expect at some point in the next 40 minutes, I fully expect somebody to come and bang on this door to get in this playroom that I'm sitting in.
Nice.
So, DJ, is this one of those like vacations where like you're going to need a vacation from the vacation?
Yeah. Also, it's going to be one of those vacations where like my wife is with her mom and dad and sister in Tennessee, and I'm in South Carolina, and then we're going home at some point, and I will get home before she does. So I'll have the boys by myself, and yep.
So you'll be okay.
Here's an idea for you, TJ, for your vacation from your vacation, is get on a plane and fly to Chicago.
Yes, please.
On Sunday, and all three of us can be together.
Look at that. You're going to Chicago on Sunday?
I'm just saying, yeah, if we're going this weekend. We leave tomorrow.
Nice.
Did you get registered for church on Sunday, dude?
Yes, I did.
Good job. You're not totally useless.
Whoa. Now I'm like down to like number one. The muscle, that's all you are.
TJ, I appreciate the fact that on your vacation you are so dedicated to the podcast that you're willing to record. Thank you, my friend. Our listeners, thank you.
Yeah, you are welcome.
Try to contain your excitement, though. Okay,
yep, what
moving
you been
on.
Up to that?
For those who don't know, he just smiled oddly and paused.
Things are going well here. Last weekend was my birthday. I preached at church.
Good sermon.
I taught the youth that night. So, thank you, sir. Good week. And then Monday, I bought my wife a car. So, a used car, but a car nonetheless. Nice. So now we have three cars awaiting Kate's impending driver's licensing. So, yeah. Yeah, thank you, Matt. I saw that. So, anyway, so Matt has been referencing a few numbers as we've been going through this this intro. And for those of you that aren't familiar with what he's talking about and think he's crazy, know that he is crazy, but he does have a point to what he's saying. So we have binge watched the second season of the Umbrella Academy. TJ beat everybody by being done with it basically within 36 hours. So TJ, you get the gold star today.
Woohoo!
So, gentlemen, overall, oh, by the way, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched it, if you haven't finished it, pause here and go finish it and then come back. Because right now, I want to hear from both of you guys, like, overall, what was your impression?
So I just got done with it this morning. Dude, I got kids in the house. It's
welcome to the club.
We all have
kids. What's your point?
There was a couple episodes that I went to hit play because I'm like, oh, Levi's outside. He's going to be outside like all day. And all of a sudden, here he comes back because his friends didn't want to play with him. I'm like, seriously, I'm trying to watch this show. Anyways,
just lock him in the closet, dude. It's fine. It's fine.
That's true. I'll do that next time with some duct tape.
Perfect.
but I loved it. I thought it was really well done. I still think season one is better. I think because of the shock and awe factor of it. Like, we didn't know what to expect from the show, and now we do. So it was like gamed up. But I thought the story was really well done, and I just enjoyed it. I mean, long story short, I just enjoyed it as a whole. I think a lot more than I thought I was going to.
TJ?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it as well. I actually think it was better than season one overall, but I do miss a few things from season one. When season one came out, I was 5 episodes in before I realized what even had a remote idea of what the crap was going on. And so I think season one, the story could have been handled a lot better. I thought it was really convoluted. And going back, and because I went back and watched season one before I started season two. So instead of just having, you know, I do appreciate how at the beginning of season two, they started with a recap of season one to kind of catch you up. I thought that was really helpful, but I'd already watched season one in the last 2 days before. So really since Wednesday, I have watched 16 episodes of The Umbrella Academy. And
you're an overachiever, aren't you?
I just wanted to make sure that I was able to catch a lot of the nuance. But what I thought they did extremely well in season two was I thought they devoted themselves to a more concise story and more character development than we got in season one. I do miss some of the flashiness and the pizzazz of season one. Like, stylistically, season one was a lot more fun, if you will. From the dance scenes that broke down all over the mansion to just, you know, it was just a lot more psychedelic, I guess, is a way to put it. And so, but no, season two, and we can get into the minutia of the details here in a minute, but I really enjoyed season two as well.
Yeah, overall, I loved this, the quirkiness of it all. You know, I felt like that transitioned well into this one. And because we're dealing with time travel, you know, the character development here and each of them being exposed to a past that they hadn't really, that they never lived through, and that being separated, just how everybody dealt with that, I thought was really good. We'll get into the details here in a minute, but the last two episodes surprised me a little bit. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
well, really, the end of the seventh or the sixth episode at the very end, and then the last two full episodes were really bonkers.
Oh yeah, agreed.
It happened all in the span of a few hours.
So get into it. What was your favorite part? What stuck out to you guys? TJ, why don't you go first this time?
My favorite part, my favorite part was when Ben went into Vanya. Like that was a really heartfelt moment that, because normally when they have the heartfelt moments, they immediately go to some crazy violence or some, you know, joke to kind of like, they're kind of a little bit afraid that we'll get bored if they throw too much emotion into it. But like, I really thought that that was a really heartfelt scene that we didn't get, because we don't get a whole lot from Ben, obviously, because he's been dead since the beginning. And I like how, you know, he interacted with Klaus, but then also he was able to interact with his brother, his Diego, and then with Vanya. So that was probably one of my favorite parts. Like it was super emotional. Like, you know, I didn't cry because I wasn't that invested in it, but I mean, it was a super emotional scene. That I really liked how this show accents family. And even though the family might be different than what we expect it to look like even in the second season, like, I mean, family was the main theme that ran through the whole show and has since season one.
Yeah, agreed.
So,
Matthew?
Yeah, so I would definitely go with the point that TJ was making. I think one of the best scenes in that whole season is that moment with Ben and Vanya. Like watching it, like almost brought like chills and almost a little bit of like not tears, but just humanness. Is that a word? I guess.
Sure.
To what was going on. I mean, at that point, I mean, there's some crazy stuff happening in the outside world, and all of that just pauses for this moment to happen. And I just thought overall, it just was really well done. Now the shocker for me that I was not expecting at all was for Diego's girlfriend to go all like Taskmaster, like be able to take everybody's powers and use it against them. And I was like, what is happening right now? That I thought, I mean, there was a lot of good, like holy crap moments. But to me, that was one of the biggest that I did not see coming. I mean, there were certain things that I was like, oh yeah, I saw, like the time travel with him going back once everybody got shot and killed at the end. I was like, oh yeah, the time travel, this is where, you know, him just going back a couple seconds is going to come in at. Like, I totally saw that coming. They set that up. But her, with her powers, I did not see that happen. I was like, that was awesome, I thought.
Yeah, TJ, I think, you know, I agree with both you guys that the scene between Ben and Vanya, you know, the Ben helping Vanya come to grips with her powers and, you know, basically explaining to her, like, yeah, you can control this, was really good. His self-sacrifice in order to do that was, you know, part of that. But yeah, you know, family, what? Yeah, it really was. It really was just that self-sacrificial type of attitude that he had was really good for the story. And, you know, the idea of family through this, you know, even in the midst of the massive amount of dysfunction that this family has, like, they're still a family, and they still, you know, you knew when Vanya was going to go back to the farm and everybody's like, no, we have other priorities. You knew that when she walked out, everybody was getting in that car. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. They, I appreciate the fact and like the fact that they, you know, that there was growth there in, because the first season we didn't know really what was happening. We didn't know really about any of them. We were kind of still trying to figure all these people out. And then Vanya ends up being the bomb and inadvertently causes the apocalypse. And then, you know, they're dispersed over time. Right. But then, but just that understanding, while both times that she almost caused the end of the world, it was accidental. It's where she had lost control because she had been pushed to a limit that she was not prepared to meet and to reach. And I like how in the second one, even through all their dysfunction, that you knew that the family had each other's back, even though they didn't like each other and they were done to that and they were all that dysfunction. You knew that when push came to shove, like real families, you know, nobody can mess with my brother but me, kind of thing. Like, yeah. You know, that's the thing. Like, you may not like it, but, and I may not like him, and we may be in a fight, but the only person that gets to mess with us is us. Like, you don't mm-hmm. get to. And so, but then, but inadvertently, and also, you know, like that was just interesting to me. The dynamic. And I agree with Matt. I did not see Lila being a superpowered person coming. And that she's a mimic or whatever you want to call it. But then the crazy part was, I'm interested to see, because what they did was they wrapped up really the story that had continued from season one, right? Like, they were still in the after effects of the first apocalypse and jumping, right? And so, but they wrapped that up. Now they don't have to deal with Vanya's powers anymore because they've already done that for two seasons. And they did it in a way that wasn't duplicitous. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was fresh and new, and it felt like a natural progression as she kind of figured out who she was. And exactly. It didn't feel like a rewash of season one, but then they also set it up with the very end, which I haven't read the graphic novel. I don't know if you guys have.
I haven't.
So I was not expecting them. I'm
gonna pick it up on Amazon.
Yeah, I was not expecting them to come back to Ben leading the Sparrow Academy. And I like how they set up that there are other super of the 43 children, that obviously there's other people that have powers. So now we're going to kind of shift into some world building, which I thought was really well done storytelling.
Oh yeah. No, I haven't read the graphic novel, but nor was I expecting, you know, you knew they weren't going to come back to a perfect world. And when Dad stood up, you know, we're like, okay, things have changed. But to see Ben leading the Sparrow Academy was like, whoa. Yeah. And I love everybody, you know, from the Umbrella Academy. I love all their responses. They're like, oh crap, here we go, you know?
Yeah. Like, can't we just have a break?
Exactly. Exactly.
Can't we all just have a drink and be done? So one of the things that I find interesting about the whole show, and really mainly this season, is how they deal with the time travel. So normally, I mean, even with Avengers, like, there was all this time travel that was happening and people had all these questions and, well, how are they going to fix this and how are they going to fix that? For some reason with this show, like, they just make it okay. Like, all these things that they're changing and affecting, it's okay. Like you'll be fine. You'll be all right. Like, we'll answer all those questions at some point, but we're not doing that right now. We're just going to move on and tell our story. And that's like, you really, I mean, for me, I really have not had that. Okay. I'm okay with this time travel hiccup thing since Back to the Future. Like, I just haven't had that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it makes sense. My, you know, I mean, it's the same frustration I have with any time travel. It's, you know, cheesy and, you know, kind of a weird way to solve problems. But I will say that with five, him kind of developing his power instead of, you know, and they set it up perfectly and you knew it was coming, like Matt said earlier, you know, instead of going decades, going seconds and being able to be, you know, to see what happens and then back up for a second and make something else happen. I thought that was pretty well done.
So, and can we also just say that, I mean, with all of the Netflix comic shows that have come out, like, this is just a beautifully made show. Like, I mean, everything from the way it looks, the music it picks, I mean, even the amount of violence and blood is done in such a, like, artistic way that it's just really, really a great looking show.
And it balances the blood and the violence with the comedy to balance it really well.
Oh yeah. I mean, when
yeah.
Was I the only one that laughed when she took that vacuum and just shoved the one dude's eye? I found that so funny. Like,
TJ, what are your thoughts, man? I see the wheel spinning in your head.
I'm trying to process through, you know, where they go from here. And I really just like I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be interesting. I think that they have come on to a story where, or a built world where they could have a lot of things to tell and it not feel old and busted, because they did such a good job at setting it up that, you know, they can go forward for, if they want to go two or three more seasons, then I think that they can without, you know, being ridiculous and
without jumping the shark. Yeah.
But at the same, yeah. But then at the same time, they also could very easily jump the shark if they're not careful and just turn it into the same, just, you know, there's a world ending apocalypse coming and they have to whatever to do it. I mean, like, you could, like, we've done that story. So now I hope that they're good enough writers and, you know, thought producers to take us into the universe they built, but to go into a different direction and not just keep repeating the same cycle.
What I
like,
found
don't focus on five next right. time.
Right. What I found interesting about the way it ended is the only person that was really revealed from the Sparrow Academy was Ben. So it's going to be interesting to see who else is there, in terms of, and what their powers are. Cause you know, this is going to be season three is going to be this knockdown, drag out fight to figure out, you know, which one of these teams that Dad put together, are the real heroes.
So, and do you guys think with him being whatever kind of alien creature he is that they revealed, do you think that's going to come into play too? Or are they just going to focus on just the new group versus the old group?
Well, I think it will come into play, but I think it's going to come into play, not if they're smart, then here's what they should do. Is this coming season three should be on the fight between the Sparrows and the Umbrella Academy. Like, that should be the thing. Figure everybody out. And then at the end of season three, his people or cosmic threat or whatever, it would be logical for it to be his people or whatever could show up and that they have to band together at the end to fight them in season four. And then I think that one of the things that I don't like is I don't like when TV shows go longer than they need to. And so I wonder if, just like they said with Stranger Things, like keep feeding me Stranger Things. I'm eating that stuff up. But if your story's going to suck after four seasons, then stop at four. Give me something that is complete and awesome. Don't give me something awesome that then sucked at the end because you're trying to get more money out of people. And so, I think the two academies fight and then they come together with bringing his alien stuff at the end of three, setting up four. And I think that's a smart way to play it.
So one of the reasons that I really actually do want to get into the reading this is that apparently the fourth novel has not released yet. And the first and second one, they said that one of the reviews that I was watching said that actually it takes a lot of liberty with kind of making what they want, but it kind of sticks to the general idea. So I'm wondering if Netflix is like, okay, we kind of have an idea, but we really can't go that way until this next one is released, you know? So they're just kind of going novel by novel and seeing what happens and hoping for the best is what I'm starting to see, which is really interesting because they have never done that with a show before. And so far it's very successful.
Yeah. I kind of agree with TJ. I don't think they would have revealed that as some sort of alien or whatever for no reason at all. So, you know, that's going to have to come into it. And even some of the commission seem to be otherworldly beings as well. So
I noticed that with all of those.
So, yeah, I think, you know, they're going to have to deal with that. I love TJ's idea of them fighting, you know, because you can continue that idea of family, you know, they fight, but then they come together and, you know, to defeat the threat to the family, which ends up being, you know, the world, really. So Netflix, we know you're not listening, but you should be.
Oh, they may be everything somewhere.
What was that?
But you know, he said they may be. Everybody's listening somewhere.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So yeah, you know, Walking Dead did this with the Walking Dead comics. They stayed similar-ish to the story, but they chose to not do some. Obviously, Daryl is not in the comics, and so you know, Daryl became one of the fan favorites on The Walking Dead, you know, because Norman Reedus, and so you know, in the comics, Andrea didn't die as early as she did in the show. Carl died, and other people, you know, it's just so it's a little bit different, and so they are taking some, you know, and some liberties. And I understand why, because if you're just following and putting a comic book adaptation onto the screen, then people know what's coming because you'll be behind the source material. And so this way there is something that is similar, but it's telling its own, you know, it took some liberties and it's telling its own little thing. And I'm not gonna read the comic because I don't want dueling. I don't want dueling material in my head. Like I don't want to fall in love with the comic and then that turn me off to the show, or love the show and that turn me off to the comic. Because like there's some things that they've done with superheroes that I'm not a fan of, and I wish that they had stuck closer to the comics. But then there's also the vice versa of that as well. And so I think I'm just going to let this just kind of be. I know that there's other material out there, but I'm not going to look at it. I'm just going to let this be my iteration of the Umbrella Academy. Does that make sense?
The only reason that that I actually want to get into is I actually find myself really enjoying the show. And so because of that, I actually want to know more about this. I think for me, especially starting, you know, all the way back at the very beginning now, I don't think from what I've heard, there's not going to be spoilers, but I think it will help me understand a lot of the backstory of all these little characters and nuances of the show, which will in turn make me love the show more. So that's one of the reasons that, you know, I got the Batman Hush volume, and I read the whole thing, I guess, about a month ago, and to prepare for the Batman, you know, the new Batman movie, because they're saying it's based off of that. And I'm just like, I would just want, it's not that, okay, I want to see this up there, but more of the effect of, like, I think it just is going to draw me in deeper into what I'm watching.
That's fair.
Yeah, I mean, I get that too. But, you know, the interesting thing is, I saw somewhere this is not necessarily Umbrella Academy related, other than it pertains to Five, whose real name is Aiden. Basically, a lot of people are clamoring for him to be Robin.
This guy is. He'd be fantastic. He looks just like him.
Yeah, well, it just depends. I'd have to see. Apparently, you know, everybody's saying he's a great actor, and that's cool, and whatever. If they're going to go for that angsty thing, then they definitely need to go Teen Titans Robin that goes into Nightwing. Some people are saying that he could be a really cool Tim Drake. And, you know, so, but I mean, I'm here for it. I thought that when I saw that go across my screen, I was like, huh, that's an interesting thought. I could see him playing Robin, a troubled orphan teen.
Well, the funny thing is, I thought when I saw that, my first thought was Damian Wayne. So,
Yeah, he might be a Damian Wayne more than a Dick Grayson. But, yeah.
So, let's wrap this up. I want to hear from you guys. What was the funniest scene from this season?
Oh gosh.
Since I came up with the question, I'll go first, so give you guys some time to think. But I thought the fight between old Five and young Five, and Luther kept getting like kicked in the balls was hilarious, dude. It was hilarious. I was rolling, watching them bounce around, and Luther's like in the middle of it, and then they both hit him, and you know, it was just, I thought that was really well done.
I kind of like so let me just say, like, the whole season, I was really drawn in because I'm a big JFK assassination guy, and so I was like, how far are they going to get here? And I kind of wanted more, but from that aspect of it, but I really love all of the little tiny scenes between Ben and Klaus. Like those two just, I think out of all of the pairings in the whole season, those two just came off to me as like the best pair out of all of them. I mean, from the moments that, I mean, when he's possessed by Ben and then he throws him up, I was like, oh, that's so gross. But I could not laugh. Like,
oh yeah,
it was gross. But I think all of the little bits and pieces between Ben and Klaus up to that moment of him getting out of him was just great.
That was your big payoff moment there.
It was.
What do you think,
Teach? I agree with Pat. That scene, because most of the interaction between Five and old Five, I thought was a little bit cheesy and on the nose. Like the seven paradoxical psychosis things, you know, I kind of wasn't, I mean, I was like, oh, that's stupid, but, like it just didn't hit, it didn't land for me. That just felt kind of cornballish to me. But then that was a different kind of cornball that was just corny and just real fun. So I agree with Pat on that. But can we all just agree that Luther is useless?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's true.
Also,
I mean, seriously, out of everybody, who else was going to pick up that tractor? His foot was going to be broken.
That's a true story.
We all have our places.
Yeah, Luther just didn't do much, man. He was just kind of there.
I love that, you know, Klaus was there trying to help lift the tractor as if he was actually doing anything.
Yeah. And I guess I understand it. I mean, Luther in season one had a bigger role because he was the one that was trying to earn Dad's favor and was kind of exiled to the moon. And then he's kind of working through some stuff. But, you know, because I really liked Allison's character development in the 60s during the civil rights movement, which was such a timely situation. I think they handled well. They didn't make it a big thing about, they just presented it and just kind of went with it. Obviously, Klaus is a character. Diego having some growth into hero was interesting. Vanya and getting that whole thing worked out. But like I said, man, Luther just was kind of there. I mean, he's like Ben. He's just hanging out. So, but yeah, I'm interested to see what goes on going forward.
True. Yeah, we're now the waiting game begins for season three.
So, and can I just say, between now and then, I am so stupid ready for a Mandalorian season two trailer. I know it's completely churned, but I am so ready for a trailer and to get this show on the road. Like, come on, let's go. Get this going.
Let's do this thing.
Which, have you guys heard? Did you guys hear about what Disney Plus is doing with Mulan?
No.
Okay, so if you have Disney Plus, you can see Mulan, I think it's maybe next week, at $30.
Huh.
So, and
that's a way to go. There,
right? And at first they said that you're going to rent it for $30, and then the huge pushback happened, and they're like, oh, we're changing it now. Once you have it, you can watch it as many times as you want. But I'm like, $30 for a movie that nobody asked for. Thanks, Disney.
Well, I think Mulan's going to be awesome. Like, I think it's going to be good. Like, I just, I mean, we're going to pay for it. And, yeah.
What we're was gonna that, pay Matt? For it.
I said without Eddie Murphy, there is no Mulan. So move along. Nothing to see here. I need my red dragon.
Well,
your sound's cutting out, buddy. Stop moving around. Just talk.
It's because he's on a laptop outside like a weirdo.
Can you hear me now?
No.
Good thing we're at the end of this thing.
So with that, you know, we'll leave Matt's mystery comment out there. Just, you know, it's like the X-Files. The truth is out there somewhere, I guess.
Well, his comment was about Eddie Murphy. And he said that Mulan, without Eddie Murphy, without Mushu, like it's not Mulan. And I get you. I was really disappointed that Mushu's not going to be in it because he was the best part of Mulan for sure. But I think they're playing it up to be an action flick, which you know, an action drama. And so we're going to get it. I'm going to be here for it. And which makes me interested because I think they're going to do the same thing with Widow. If the virus continues to do what it's doing and we don't see the theaters opening back up anytime soon, I think what you're going to see is because, you know, the other movies have been $20 for 48 hours, which is fine. You get to watch it multiple times in 48 hours. But then $30, then you better let me just have it. If I'm going to pay $30 for something, then you better just let me have it. So I'm fine. Drop Widow on Disney Plus. I will pay $30 today. So.
Well, and, you know, you go to the theater. I mean, my family, we're spending more. we're spending almost $30 just to get in, much less for food and stuff. So it's definitely worth it, I think, especially if you get to keep it after that.
But anyway, we are definitely the way this unfolds. So
we are definitely running up against the clock here, gentlemen. So let us know what you think. Did you watch The Umbrella Academy? Did you like it? What were your favorite parts? Were we wrong in our assessment of The Umbrella Academy? I know that's not possible, but, you know, you can share your wrong opinion of our wrong opinion. And, you know, we'd love to hear from you. So Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, reach out. Say hi. Let us know what your thoughts are. And with that, stay geeky, my friends.
Embrace your inner geek.
Have a geekly week.
There you go. Now the sound's back. Anyway, now that it finally came back, we're out of here. See ya later.
You're still here. It's over. Go home.